Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the church at Thyatira. And believe it or not everything was bad with the church at Thyatira. There were some things that were good. In fact, as we're going to see, the church at Thyatira started out on a good note, but then they descended into bad, immoral practices and putrid, absolutely putrid pagan practices. But then some were able to repent. So that's encouraging. That should be encouraging for us. Again, as we see Yeshua's evaluation of the church at Thyatira, we should be looking at ourselves, because we should be seeing if we perhaps started out on a good foot, but then got on the wrong foot. We started to say things like, well, you know, it's okay for me to watch this R-rated movie that should have been rated X because it has so much sexual exploitation in there, so much violence, so much perversions of the world, really. And then maybe we're saying, oh, you know, I really, really love this person that I've been dating, so since the Lord knows that we're going to get married, I'm going to go ahead and sleep with this person. I know that it's okay with God, because in our hearts, we're already married. Oh, yeah, right. And perhaps you have even gotten into adultery, or perhaps you're starting to think that, well, you know, maybe homosexuality is okay. Maybe it's just an alternate lifestyle. Perhaps you've descended into this type of moral abyss. But be encouraged again, because just like there were people in Thyatira that descended into a moral abyss and they went into immorality, still they were able to repent, some of them, and God, of course, accepted their repentance. So be encouraged. If you've descended into an immoral abyss, then God can bring you back out. So now, let's read about the fact that Yeshua was pleased with how they started out, and he was pleased with how some of them ended up. This is in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 19. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 19. Yeshua says, I know your works, as evidenced by your love and service. I know your works, as evidenced by your faith and perseverance. And I know your works, that your latter works are greater than the first works that you did. So your works of late are greater than those that you did at first. So when he says, I know your works, Yeshua gives proper respect for their love to God and their love to each other. I mean, after all, that's what we should be about. The two great commandments in the law are, first, to love God with all of our heart, might, and soul. And the second one is like it, to love our neighbors as ourselves. So Yeshua takes notice of the fact that they have love for God and love for each other. Secondly, he graciously acknowledges their service to the poor and the distressed people of the world. He acknowledges their service to widows and orphans. You know, Yeshua says that if you visit me in prison, or if you visit people in prison, if you visit the orphans and the widows, if you visit the oppressed, then you have visited him. When you do good to people who are oppressed, who are at the bottom of the ladder, then you have in fact visited Yeshua. You have done good things for him, because that's what he would do for people. And after all, if Yeshua is the head of the body, that means we are the body. That means we should be his arms reaching out to people to lift them up off of the ground, to lift them up out of the mud puddle, to put our arms around them, to comfort them, to extend a hand so that we can give them food, to put clothes on their backs, whatever it is, to pat them on the back, to give them encouragement. That's how we should be. And then thirdly, he commends them for their faith, which is their fidelity to the grace they had received. They were remaining faithful to the grace which they had received. And then fourthly, he praises them for their perseverance under afflictions and persecution. So let's read this again. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 19, he says, I know your works as evidenced by your love and service, your love to God and to each other, and your service to the poor, to the distressed, to the widows, and to the orphans. I know your faith, that you have not denied my name, that you have remained faithful to me. And I know your perseverance, that even though you faced afflictions, you have persevered. And I know that your works of late are greater than those at first. So they not only retain what they had received at first, but they actually grew in the grace and knowledge of Jesus the Christ. And this is a rare thing in most Christian churches, because in most Christian churches, they generally start out okay, but then lose the power of relationships as they wallow in rituals. They lose the power of true godly relationships as they wallow in pagan practices. They lose the power of godly relationships as they descend into immorality, because the cares of the world, the pressures and persecutions of the world, cause people to feel like they need to get in where they can fit in, or they need to fit in where they can get in. They want to be politically correct as opposed to spiritually correct. Now, on the surface, the church at Thyatira was a strong and flourishing church. If a stranger went into it, he would be impressed with its abounding energy and its generous liberality and its apparent steadfastness. But just under the surface, there was something brewing that could boil over and ruin everything. So here's the warning. A church which is crowded with people and which is a hive of energy is not necessarily a real church. I'm going to say that again. A church which is crowded with people, these mega churches, those mega churches which have a hive of energy, a lot of activities for children, for singles, for the mature crowd, go on cruises, open up banks, whatever. And all these things can be good. I'm not criticizing them as inherently evil, but I'm just saying that a mega church or a church that's just crowded with 200, 300 people, or even a church that's small, but I'm just saying that numbers don't necessarily mean that God is truly blessing a place. So a church which is crowded with people and which is a hive of energy is not necessarily a real Christian church. It is possible for a church to be crowded because its people come to be entertained instead of instructed. They come to listen to this great choir that's made, you know, 3-4 CDs, and now they're on all of these radio stations and they're winning all kinds of awards. So it might be that people are coming to be entertained rather than instructed. They have a 5-minute service after a 50-minute song service. They have a 5-minute worship service, a 5-minute message. It is possible for a church to be crowded because its people come to do their business instead of doing God's business. Again, it's more like a social club. They come and exchange business cards. They talk about how you can help me and how I can help you. They really look at the people there as their potential customers. It is possible for a church to be crowded with physically healthy and wealthy people because it tolerates immoral behavior and the traditions of men in order to be politically correct. They don't want to stand out and say that it's wrong to commit adultery. They don't want to stand out and say that it's wrong to be committing fornication. They don't want to come out and say that it's wrong to be involved with pornography. Why? Because many of the ministers, the deacons and the elders, are involved with that crap. That's why they don't want to speak out on it. And of course, people in the congregation, that's fine, because they can come as they are and do their own thing, as wicked and dirty as they are, and they can profess that they have repented and they're accepted. They can still do their own thing, as opposed to, again, being transformed by the scriptures so that we can transform society. People are being transformed by the world. So it is possible for a crowded church to become a highly successful commercial club rather than a real congregation. That is the problem. That's the warning. The question has to be, how does a Christian congregation that has worked so hard and so long to grow and maintain good relationships with God and men end up becoming no more than a good Christian club? And the answer is told by Jezebel. But before we hear from Jezebel, I do want you to ask yourself a few questions. And these questions are designed to help you to analyze why you're doing what you are doing. So here's a question. What is the definition of a Christian? Why did you become a Christian? What is the definition of a church? Why do you go to church? What is the purpose of prayer? How often and how long do you pray? What is the purpose of Bible study? How long and how often do you study the Bible? Do you have a merciful, compassionate, and generous spirit? Do you have proof that you are truly becoming more and more Christ-like? Please, please ponder those questions and answer those questions to the best of your ability. And now let's go back to my initial question. How does a Christian congregation that has worked so hard and long to grow and maintain good relationships with God and men end up becoming no more than a good Christian club? Let's hear the answer from Jezebel, because Jezebel is the key person here. We're going to hear from Jezebel how a Christian congregation can become no more than a good Christian club. And we're going to hear from Jezebel in our next program. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you. 666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. Right from the pages of your own Bible, I will first reveal to you the identity of the beast, and secondly reveal to you what is the mark of the beast. I will do this during a free seminar entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? This free seminar will be held on Wednesday, February 14th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the North Lake Barbara Lohr Library, which is located at 3772 La Vista Road in Tucker, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you may end up receiving the mark of the beast. Many people will receive the mark of the beast in order to escape the great tribulation, which is Satan's wrath against the people of God. But those who receive the mark of the beast will not escape the day of the Lord, which is God's wrath against the people of disobedience. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.